Listen up, Lord. God in heaven, we hear your word and follow your instruction. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Jesse Joyce, thank you very much.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, and good to have you back.
It's great to see you guys again.
Did you relapse?
I did not. No,
all right.
Not at all.
Good job.
No, it was good stuff.
Our buddy Michael Matera did.
Who?
Remember him? You met him. He was falling over you at your show, when we saw you at your show afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Crazy Mike?
Yeah, that Crazy guy? Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Did he really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Just for a sec.
Just for
it still counts as a full relapse if it's just for a second.
Well, I mean, the point is he's back. I think that's a huge deal.
Oh, he's back on the wagon?
Yeah.
All right, well, good. So, yeah, people misstep.
Is he?
Yeah, that's what he said.
They're liars,
We're
too,
chronological
right?
liars.
They're
yeah.
liars.
So he very well could be lying to you. But
I have to say, though, there is a difference. Like, there does for us, I don't think, like, if you said that you relapsed, we'd be floored.
Yeah.
But when he said it, Keith was like, I knew it.
Well, he only had like a month or two anyway, right?
No, he had
2 years, I believe.
Yeah.
No, did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
At least, like, he was actually sober for a while, relapsed, and now he's got, and then he had 2 years completely.
Oh, okay.
But those eyes said fail, you know? I guessed, me and Bro Love said within the year.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he wasn't doing what you're supposed to be doing. I know that. Like,
What does that mean? Because we saw something like, I feel like maybe this is just...
Like drinking. He wasn't supposed to be drinking.
Yeah, he wasn't doing what you're supposed to be doing, which is not consume alcohol.
No, he just seemed very... I don't know, you seemed so much more calm.
You both were hanging out in the same...
Yeah, he's doing the same thing you are.
Bar, restaurant. What's he doing wrong? What was the signs? He doesn't mind you talking about him, by the way.
No, I think he's a great dude. Like, I enjoyed his company. But just, there's a certain, it's not like it's the only way, but there's a, you know, a secret society that, you know, has get-togethers.
He's not moving to AA.
He's not taking classes. He's not in the secret society. And, you know, and I don't think that's the only way.
Right.
But, you know.
There was a phone call he could have made that night if he had to.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of the...
Oh, so you have to do the system.
Society. You know, I don't think you have to. Like, I know people who don't, but I think it's sort of one of the more foolproof ways to go about it. You know?
Really? Because, okay, I think about it like Weight Watchers. You have those meetings, and I'm sorry, this is the only reference I have, and I've never been to Weight Watchers, but you can call a friend when you want to eat that potato chip. Like, have you had moments where it's like, fucking, I got to call someone?
Yeah,
And that works, really?
It does, cause and it's almost even more just the mechanics of going, like... of just taking a second to think about it, you know? Because that's what happens is, like, it's very easy to forget all of the bullshit that you went through, you know? Mm. And so, you know, it's just like, oh, well, what's the harm in me having a fucking shot this evening with Keith, you know? And then you remember, oh, yeah, because I wrecked my car and I fucking got arrested, you know? And
I would be Michael Matera's...
oh, God.
What do you call it?
Enabler?
Not guardian.
No, it's called an enabler.
Enabler.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're...
I'd be his big
brother.
You're
trying to be my enabler.
I would...
Okay, has he offered you alcohol?
No, but he...
Because he does to Mike Matera every time. Not only that. He will put some booze in a shot glass and place it right in front of him.
Yeah, no, yeah, you've told me that he does that.
Isn't that... Like, would you... If Keith did that to you, would you come back?
Sure, yeah, because I'm...
Really?
Because it's
I'm
delicious.
Constitutionally... Yeah, I mean, I like being around it, but I'm, you know, in a place where I know it's not for me anymore.
Right, it's just to make... It's not to make him even drink it. It's to make him feel comfortable.
But it doesn't make... Like, I think that you guys have this, like, Jekyll and Hyde attitude about it, that, like, it just a shot glass will be in front of me and my hands will start shaking and be like, it begins! Like, it's not like that, necessarily.
Well, again, I'm going to make a food reference. I could be completely full and I can smell food that I like and I'm, like, hungry again, you know? And if you didn't let me smell it, I wouldn't really think about it. I think smelling is a huge thing. And I think when he puts the shot in front of Mike, when Mike says, I'm having a really hard week and I'm thinking about relapsing, you know, like, when
he'll,
you
like,
see,
say that, and then you'll waft
when you see
under his nose?
You see Mike is just struggling at that moment. He's like, have some Jaeger.
Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, yeah, that's kind of uncool.
If to be a big brother, what do you call him? A sponsor.
Right.
To be a sponsor, do you have to hang out with the person?
No, not necessarily.
Okay, I'll
do it. You can
do
it over the phone.
I'll do it.
Or whatever.
So. If you need
for
help.
For who, you'll do it.
Michael Matera.
I'm under the impression that the only prerequisite for sponsorship
What's that?
Is that you have to have more time sober
more
than
alcohol?
The person.
Oh, more time sober.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm out.
Yeah. So
look what I got. See, you miss out on things like this. You miss out on new technology of drinking. I can't open it now. But it's a cozy.
Because you drank too much.
It's a cozy for a 40. It's a beer cozy.
Wow.
But I got this in the mail from somebody. Ain't that nice? And there's a handle. You can put it if you want to be, like, classy.
Wow.
I'm going to try that out later, but you won't be able to.
All right, fuck it. Let's go drink. You know, you're right. I am missing out. No, I've just, like, decided, like if you really, like, clinically think about it, like, there's nothing that I've ever done in my life that I've ever thought, you know what would have made that cooler? If I was drunk. You know? So this is kind of
really, because I hear that from drunks all the time.
That things would have been better if they had been drunk?
Yeah.
It makes conversations better.
Things are better. I wish I had a drink right now. Just everything is better according to...
No, but after the fact. Like, you can... Yeah, like, I could see that, like, that immediately they would go, oh, it would be really way easier if I had a drink right this minute. But when you reflect on something that happened that you went through after the fact, I don't think anybody would ever go, that would have been so much better if I was fucked up. You know?
Matt wrote me this. Hey, Keith, I was catching up on all the episodes. I was enjoying what you had to say about Celebrity Rehab. I worked on the set as a PA for a few days. Pure hell. Have you ever saw this show?
Did I ask you that? I saw like a clip of it, and it's just a train wreck.
It doesn't interest you?
It saddens me. Like, Intervention really interests me. Like, I think that's a well-done show that pays, you know, fair tribute to the disease. But Celebrity Rehab is like a fucking freak circus.
Okay.
Keith thinks if he would have kids, he would make them watch it, like, here's how your life can go really bad.
Yeah.
Well, but have you ever seen Intervention? Those are train wrecks. Like, those
you'd
people
like
are...
That.
But it's like, there's violin music. I guess that's the big difference. You know, in Intervention, they like kind of make it, they tug on your heartstrings, and then they actually do get into like a legitimate sort of like a facility that, you know, handles it specifically. And then after the fact, like they kind of check up on them like 6 months later.
Oh, in the same show?
Yeah, at the very end. And half, like a lot, not half the time, but some of the times they like die.
Wow.
Like, it's fascinating. Like, it's really dark. It's like the human fucking experience at like its darkest.
Look at his face.
So you never know. It's like a total gamble. You get invested in this person's story for like the whole episode. And then in the last minute, like sometimes it's like, you know, it'll like, it's like a little, just, it's like a black screen. And then like, you know, the like story comes up like 2 months later, they check themselves out of the rehab. 1 month later, they did this. And then within 4 months, they were dead.
Are you saying
like,
that when the great and honorable Dr. Drew says this has never been done before, it has in fact been done before?
What, you mean the TV thing?
Yeah.
It's being done currently, and Intervention is a way better example of it.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, and you can go to A&E, it's on A&E, and you can go to A&E.com and like follow up with the people, see how they're continually doing, you know? And it's been on for a couple seasons now, I think.
Can you chat with them, like, hey, feeling thirsty?
No, okay. I don't think you have access to the people.
Okay.
So.
I worked on this set as a PA, says Matt, on Celebrity Rehab, for a few days, pure hell, and was given the sweet task of picking up Jeff Conaway, he's the one from Taxi, that's the big mess.
The dude who was Kinnicky?
Yes.
Okay.
And take him to rehab. Anyways, after entering his drug den and getting punked into buying him Starbucks, I sort of ended up turning the other way when he enthusiastically stuck a vial of Coke into his pants to sneak into rehab. What disturbed me most is as he did it, he looked me in the eye / soul and said three words, one last blast. I felt so creeped out but decided nothing would spice up rehab like him bringing in a little nose candy to the party. So even though my handiwork is not recognized on screen or in credits, when he had his famous take it back argument with Daniel Baldwin about bringing in drugs, I knew my work was done. Matt.
This isn't the Matt that we know.
No, it's not.
Okay.
If you want any other information about what really happened there, let me know. It was the weirdest and worst job of my life. No, I'm good. You're only 3 fucking months late. No, I'm good. Why would that interest me? I said it's the greatest show on television going today. Why would I want more stories?
Right.
Give me a call, Matt. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I have a story about the porn star blowing each other. If that interests you, let me know. Oh, if it interests you, just tell me. I'll send it to you in a week. I don't know if it interests you. Jesse has a new girl.
I do.
Jesse, you can never settle down anymore.
Yeah.
Got a new lady.
When was the last time we saw you? That was pretty quick, but I know.
Well, you know what? I was seeing her when I did see you guys last. Like, I met her when I went to the Funny Bone in Pittsburgh in the end of January.
She was in the audience?
Well, we went to college together, so we've known each other, and then we lost touch for like 8 years, and then
Cute. It's
adorable.
Did you have a mini crush on her in college?
Strangely enough, I mean, she's like one of the serious hotties from my college. Like, she was one of the ones that like everybody was like.
Were you telling us about her last time?
I think I might have been.
Yeah.
And she basically came up to me and said, "You know, I always wanted to fuck you in college," and I was like, "What?" Let's do that then. You know what the story was? She didn't tell me. Did I tell you guys this about how she told my friend?
I think so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did I do it on the show?
I don't know. Go ahead.
All right. Well, either way, like, one of my really good friends, like, that I went to high school with, so I've known him forever in Pittsburgh, I run into her at a bar the week I'm back home to do the Funny Bone, and she walks away, and she looked fucking great. She walks away, and Bernie, my buddy, goes, "Oh, dude, I completely forgot to tell you. Like, 5 months ago, I was at a party with her, and your name came up, and she was like, 'Do you know I always wanted to fuck him in college?'"
What? And, wow. Yeah,
I was like, what the...
Is there anything
stuck.
You can do?
What kind of a fucking friend, like, sits on that piece of information for 5 fucking months? Like, that's what I don't... Right. Like, there's, like, acquaintances that I barely know that if some girl told me, like, "Oh, you know what, I always wanted to fuck him..." I will fucking track that guy down to tell him that. Like, just so you know, you do whatever you want with this piece of information, but I would like you to have it.
Now, when you end up dating her,
yeah,
do you fuck right away? Or do you have
that's not really like that's how I met your mother kind of a story. But in reality, I mean, we were close in college for, you know, a couple years. And we even found a play that I was in. That I wrote, like, in college. She was over at my apartment. We were watching it, and she's in it. And, like, we had a scene together and didn't even know. It was that's adorable.
Why didn't you try things back in college?
I had a girlfriend at the time, and she would, like... I was a fucking idiot when I was 21, apparently. Like, 20 and 21. Like, I just, like, was completely blind to what was going... I thought I had shit figured out, and, yeah, she was, like, would illustrate examples, like, remind me, like, "Why do you think I'd fucking come down and sleep on your couch all the time in your room?" And I was like, "Oh, that's because you said your roommate was sick." Like, I lived on a fucking sorority wing. I could have stayed with anybody. Like, why was I coming all the way down to stay in your room? And I was like, "Oh, yeah, animal."
I never saw signs.
I don't know how. And so, ironically, she was like, "That made you more attractive because you seemed really aloof." And it was like, I wasn't aloof. I'm just a fucking idiot. Like, I just
and I'm glad I was more attractive not trying to fuck you and not getting fucked by you.
Yeah, well, it was great. It wouldn't have worked out then anyway, you know, because those reasons. But, like, now that, you know, we're both, like, you know, 29, it's like we're kind of done with that fucking around.
How long would you say you guys are a couple?
In the future?
No, right now. How long have you been a couple?
Have we been a couple?
Yeah.
Grammar.
End of January.
Grammar.
So.
January?
End of January, yeah.
So, 2 months.
Like, 2 months. Yeah.
Okay, this is fascinating to me. Before...
Wait, does she live in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, but she's looking to... Coincidentally enough, she's looking for jobs here.
Ooh, you'll be coupled up in an apartment with... Look how excited he is!
He's so in love.
Yeah.
Would you say you're in love?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what he did.
What did I do?
I didn't act like this was crazy. I feel like it was normal before the show started.
What?
This is absolutely crazy. He likes this girl so much and that he knows they're a couple... That he takes the time to go see girls that he saw before, not girls in a relationship, just girls he would go out with sometimes and have fun with, which is totally normal and fine.
Wait, not physically do anything with them?
Physically.
Oh, okay.
But break up, nothing.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, I felt I owed it to the
not
girls
what?
That I was kind of casually seeing to, like, get together with them and explain to them, like, "Hey, I am now..."
So
going the exclusive route.
Is it do they go, "I don't care"? I would feel upset if I was fucking you.
Uh-huh.
First, I'd go get help because I'm a homophobe. But secondly, I would be upset that you're dumping me and yet we didn't have nothing going on, really.
No, I mean, like...
No, he was seeing them.
I had like a thing with them.
Yeah, I was having a thing with you.
No, but when you're seeing someone, it's like
you can't
possible
wait.
Potential.
Like, you know, like we would see each other when I was like in town or whatever, and then to just all of a sudden like never speak to them again—that seems like really
you don't have to
uncool.
Never speak. To, are you gonna never speak to them again?
No, like I can't keep the thing going the way it was. Like, be flirty on the phone and everything like that. Like,
are you nervous? Like, you're breaking up with somebody?
Yeah, I was.
Are you playing with your food? Right, and there's nothing to explain.
Yeah, that is the weird thing. Is like, I don't really... I mean, I know people who just like walk out on their spouse. Like, I don't really owe this person anything technically. We're just kind of like casually hooking up. But I did feel like it would be the decent guy thing to do to fucking sit him down and explain to him that
it's
like,
weird.
But okay, you're...
Well, but I'm also, remember, like, I'm friends with everybody I ever dated, and that's odd to you guys.
You could still be
that's
friends.
Not
you
odd
can't
to me.
You can't just say, hey, I'm in a relationship now, and they get it. They go, oh, good for you. And that's the end. Not, sit down. Now, my dick, I know that was good, and I know you enjoyed that. You can't have that. No. You can't have that anymore.
Okay, let me remind
let me tell you why.
Jesse, who you're talking to. There's a couple of ways that Keith just decided to break up with people, and they were all very spontaneous. One is he was on a date, and he decided to eat pasta with his hands to gross her out, and when that didn't work...
She found that more charming.
Yeah, she thought it was funny. When that didn't work, when their dinner was done, he just walked faster than her until he lost her. That's one.
You actually physically ran away?
Yes.
That's one way to do it, I guess.
There was another one where he was pretty... This is the most serious relationship that he had other than me. And it was still... it was very, very short, but still. He was walking with her, and then he walked her to the train station, gave back her book bag that he was holding, and then never called her again. Until I made him call her to say, hey, you're in my book. Is it okay to have your last name in it? And she was like, fuck no, you're an asshole. Because he wrote some bad shit, and he didn't even think it was bad.
So her name's not Kara, it's Sarah. I'm not saying what I did was right.
Well, I'm just saying that might potentially fuck me for a book deal down the road. So that's why I'm fucking trying to do that.
Hey, what's up? You're on Keith and the Girl.
Hey, what's up, Keith? It's Matt from Celebrity Rehab.
Hey, Matt. How's rehab treating you?
Oh, man. You know, I'm drying up.
That's good.
Look, I want to apologize for being so late on that, man. I finally heard that episode super late. But I want to clear something up. I felt like a horrible person when I hear that letter back for turning the other way when he wanted to bring the coke. But to sort of defend myself on a douchebag move, the policy of the show was actually, they said, we're filming this documentary style, so just let it be what it is. So that was actually sort of my job, was just to let him do what he does.
I don't think it was your responsibility. Yeah. What are you supposed to do, wrestle him to the ground?
Exactly.
And take the coke
what are you going to fucking grab the coke out of Kinnicky's hand and go, you're killing yourself? It's not your job to do that.
Especially if there's no camera there.
Yeah.
Now, you did nothing wrong letting him do that, and they have to see what he would normally do on his side. You
and
know?
They were glad. They were glad to have that drama. This isn't, you know, they're not going to church. They're making a show.
And furthermore, his family wasn't able to get him to stop doing blow. Oh, yeah. You're a fucking PA on a TV show that he met 20 minutes before who bought him a cup of coffee. It's not your job.
Worst job ever.
Sorry.
What else happened to the freaks? What else happened?
Okay,
I want to hear about Daniel Baldwin. This guy is an asshole.
Daniel Baldwin, see, on I think it was like his second day there is what he did, and they sort of went over it on the show. He was kicked out for, like they said, I guess he was taking pictures of his dick and sending it to Mary Carey. Right,
the porn star on the show.
And apparently that's not cool in rehab.
that's not cool in really any aspect of life.
I don't want to act like I can justify anything. I think a dick pic is better than bringing blow into rehab.
Okay, well...
not if you're sending it to the girl who came into rehab because she can't stop having dick.
Right. She's supposed to quit being a porn star and a slut because it's all connected to her rehab, and you're saying, yeah, I'm married, but let's meet in the bathroom and fuck. And go back to your old ways and cry because you're ruining
my marriage.
You know
what would have been really great television? If Kinnicky had started doing reels of blow off Daniel Baldwin's dick.
That would have been good.
That would have been fucking
great. Work on that
TV.
As the PA.
Is that in bonus footage? Do you know anything about that, Matt?
Oh, I wish. Can I tell you the story of why Jeff Conaway and his girlfriend disrespected my car?
No, it doesn't sound interesting enough. Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, so he's hobbling. We finally get him going. It takes like 2 hours to get him moving around. And he's like hobbling out to the car. I'm supposed to drive him back to the rehab center. And he sees, I drive a red Mustang. He sees my Mustang and says, I'm not hopping in a fucking orange Mustang. And his wife comes out, and she's like, oh, my God, this is what we're riding in? So she goes and starts, like, frantically hosing down their Lexus or whatever. And I'm like, your boyfriend is fucking dying in my car. He sat down to rest and fell asleep randomly in my car while she was hosing down another car. I'm like, your boyfriend is fucking dying in my car, and you're worried about driving in a clean Lexus? Come on.
That's great. She is a mess, isn't she? That girlfriend
oh,
is.
Oh, completely. You know what?
That's he, called codependency.
Yeah. This is another funny thing. He made sure he left her, like, I'm not sure the phrase he uses, because I'm not up on cool, like, coke terms.
Right.
But he said, like, I left you a something bomb on the counter. So he left her behind, like, a nice little stash so she can get right, too. And she was drinking on the way there in her car.
That's so when they pulled up in these cars, these were sometimes PA cars.
A couple. Well, you know what? Most of the celebrities sort of refuse to
be in your shitty cars.
Lower class vehicles.
Wow.
A red Mustang.
But most of them were friends and family brought them. I don't know why I was assigned to pick up Jeff Conaway. That night, the night before, I contemplated just quitting because I didn't think I could deal with it. But I was like, you know what? How many times am I going to get to do this? So I went down there, and it was a mess, man.
Do you drink or not drink any more or less because you saw these people firsthand?
No. Maybe I smoke weed more. I'm not sure.
Oh, good. Nice. Huh.
But yeah, but I don't drink or any more or less. And so I've never done coke or crack or anything, so
the show
maybe
was
this deterred
lives.
Me. Maybe who knows? I might have been like a week away from a crack binge. I don't know, but
right, you never know. You never know. Well, is that black girl from Family Matters? She's the one that had the weed problem. Is she sexy in real life? She looks hot.
Yeah. You know. She was, but the weird thing is, you sort of we were instructed not to talk to anybody or interact with any of them. We're supposed to be like ghosts around there because. In one of our briefings, they said anybody who suffers with addiction might misinterpret anything you do as a sign of abuse or, you know, they misinterpret things easily and get very irritated, so we're not supposed to talk to them. So there was this real sort of feeling like everyone there felt super, like, vulnerable, and you're not supposed to look them in the eye. So it was just a weird, weird chemistry on that set.
When you see people with cameras, were you seeing that? Were you seeing, like, actual footage being shot?
Yeah.
Okay, and somebody, you know, they say, get the camera out of my face, you're in my way, whatever. Did the cameraman ever talk back? Did they ever say, like, I got to be here? Did they just take the punches? What do they do?
Yeah. You know, that's the thing. That's what's funny is they actually don't say anything back, really. Like, they're yelling, and the cameraman just stays silent. But I get the impression you could pretty much do anything to a cameraman, short of, like, cutting off a leg or something. I have a feeling you can push them, piss on them, whatever. They're going to keep getting footage.
Right. Are they all big guys or they're all different sizes?
Most of them are pretty good size. Interestingly enough, there was a couple smaller, like, female camera people.
Did they ever get pushed around?
Or pissed on? Since you brought that up.
No golden showers, but...
you know terminology.
Yeah, seriously. I don't know nothing about blow terminology, but I want to give her a fucking Randy Sanchez. What?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of strange when it comes to what terminologies I know and don't know.
Right.
So forgive me for my lack of drug knowledge, but
forgiven.
I'm kind of a perf.
Okay. All right, fair freak. Enough. All right. Well, what's your next? Like, do you work for VH1 or freelance?
No, you know what? This was totally just an act. I would never work with TV or be a PA again.
Wow.
I did it because I needed money, and the rehab center is around the corner from my house. Which, by the way, the rehab center is in the middle of the hood. It's not even... They make it look so glamorous in Hollywood.
Yeah, it does.
It's in the hood. It's one of their concerns was that if any of these guys get out, I remember this meeting. They also said, well, here's the danger of filming here. If these guys get out, they're within, you know, around the corner, they can go and buy crack, weed, whatever. Right. And if any of these drug dealers see us filming, our cameraman might be killed. So make sure that you pay extra close attention to the gang problem, you know?
Wow, what's usually...
How they show,
is that a regular place for rehab? Is that a rehab actual...
You know what it is? It is a regular rehab center, but what they did was... The regular rehab center is shit. I mean, it's completely... It looks like it's falling apart. It's gross. They completely redid this hall just for the show.
Yeah, a hallway. This is Pasadena,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the hallway is all just a set. It's not... It kind of blew my mind to see behind the scenes that everything is just—it's just a set. Everything is cheap. Everything was just painted the night before.
Is this in Pasadena?
But actually, Jessica Sierra is back at that rehab center as a regular patient now.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard from my buddies on the inside. Dr. Drew told me.
Oh yeah. Inside sources, right? And one last thing I wanted to tell you is, Keith, I know this is an old topic, too. I completely agree with you about nerds. We got to do something about it, man.
Thank you, buddy. We got to do something about nerds. Everybody's afraid to say something.
I don't know if you've dealt with a video game store nerd before, but God.
God damn.
Yeah. I hate it. But, yeah, hopefully I was able to give you some insight. Just let me know if there's anything else, you know, that interests you.
Thanks, buddy.
I got to run in a second, but I love your show, man.
Thanks. I love you. You're a good guy.
Oh, well, not as much as I love you, but, you know.
All right.
This one is really gay. Get off the phone.
Thank you.
No, he's right there. Everybody's afraid to hate nerds. They disgust me.
Who's afraid to hate nerds? I don't like nerds.
Who's afraid of hate nerds? Because we picked on them in high school, you're not allowed to say that now as an adult. You're not allowed to recognize that they're fucking scumbag pieces of shit. You can't recognize how hateful and petty and scumbaggy they are. And I'm glad you're aboard and willing to say I don't like
the right word, because they're not
douchebag.
Like, douchebag. Yeah, because like scumbag is like somebody who fucks your sister, kind of.
Right.
You know, like they don't
fuck.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're just, like, fucking infuriating.
Yeah, before the show starts, we're listening to a kid's getting picked on in school, and I'll play the clip here in a second. But I can't help but think, what are you doing wrong? The whole school's picking on you? What are you doing wrong? I'm not saying sometimes it comes out of nowhere. I was a nice kid. I got picked on sometimes.
Yeah.
But in general, you were probably a fucking douche, and not just by being shy.
Absolutely. I went to, like, fucking four different schools growing up, like, because we moved around. And, like, I would always get picked on the first year. But that is where one hones a sense of humor or starts working out or gets good at some fucking sporting event. You do something to fucking compensate for the fact that, like, I don't like the fact that I stand out and I'm getting picked on. I'm going to fucking make the best of this as opposed to then fucking going on whatever.
I would like to look back and wonder if that's why I have a sense of humor.
That's exactly why. I really think so.
I was bone skinny. I wasn't, you know, mercilessly or unmercilessly, whatever the word is, picked on. But, you know, there were times, of course, you know. I was the last person on the bus. They would deliberately not, you know, not want to give a seat. And then you're like, hey, can I have a seat? Until one day I learn about working out. And I go, move the fuck over. And they do. You know, and not like I got big or something, but I just had balls. Like, move over. Like, wow, you're actually going to fight back now, aren't you? Anyway, here's...
Yeah, sometimes it just takes being louder.
Yeah, it you know what? The only cure is fighting back. That is the only cure.
Yeah, but nerds fight back and you want to punch them in the face.
If they honed a sense of humor, it's a fucking brilliant way to...
One or the other.
Yeah.
If you're that hardcore nerd, you don't have a sense of humor and you can't develop one.
You can
part of having a sense of humor is being born with a gift.
Okay, I agree.
David Cross is kind of a fucking nerd, and he really has turned it around.
He was born like that a little bit.
He's born with a sense of humor.
I do believe that it is a talent that you're...
Yeah, you've seen people who really cannot make a joke.
Yeah,
just
no, sure.
It's just not funny every time. It's so sad.
I agree, but you know what you could develop? A right hook.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you even got to go to the gym. Just fight back. Be willing to take a beating, and you'll get out of it. That is the beginning and end of it. Here's this story about this newscaster only, and his parents and a lawyer only making this kid's life worse.
It's no secret. Kids can be cruel. Name-calling, bullying. This story goes way beyond bullying. It's a heartbreaking story of Billy Wolf.
In news, there's like three or four different things that they always start with. It's no secret, such and such.
Right.
Or
you would think
this looks like an ordinary such. Like, it's always the same thing.
Right.
It just drives me nuts. Okay, go ahead.
This goes beyond bullying. What?
It's always something like, you would think we wouldn't report this, but this is an extreme version of it. Can you believe it? We get it. We're already watching the news.
Yeah, but we're the news, and we tell things that aren't normal.
It's no secret. Kids can be cruel. Name-calling, bullying. This story goes way beyond bullying. It's a heartbreaking story of Billy Wolf. He's been picked on mercilessly since junior high. Billy's been beaten up in class, outside of class, while waiting for the bus with his sister. Not only that, there's even a Facebook page on the web called Everyone Hates Billy Wolf.
Good job, news guy.
Right.
Good job, father.
Yeah. So now it'll get 4 million hits.
Right. And do you know who could be crueler than people you know? People you don't know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. It's like
people you can't
even
find.
People even send hate mail to Billy Wolf's house at 224 Sunset Avenue, Lexington, Kentucky, 40234.
That street, like Sunset Avenue, conjures up images of nice things and sweet things.
You would think that.
Not for him at 224 Sunset Avenue.
People even throw bricks through the top left window on the second floor, which is his room at 234 Sunset Avenue.
What are breaks hearing this story? And as a dad, I don't know what I do, but Billy's parents, they're taking some action. They are suing the kids, the bullies. Let's go further into this story. Joining me now
he
is
won't have
Billy.
His ass kicked anymore now.
Fuck these people.
Are you kidding?
Fuck them. I'm going to pick on their parents now.
Yeah.
Bullies. Let's go further into this story. Joining me now is Billy Wolf himself, also joined by his mom, Penny Wolf, and their attorney, Wes Doss. All right.
He kind of looks like a normal kid at first glance, and then you stare at him, and he's like dopey. So you could tell he's introverted and dopey.
But this kid could fucking turn it around if
he
fucking grew a sack and like was like, you know what? Like, fuck what everybody else thinks of me. I am valid by myself, and then he will invent some fucking computer software that that then...
Fui saying, I went to 8 different schools from grade school to high school. Here's another way to deal with it. Like in prison, you kick someone's ass, and early then you're okay.
Yes.
I guess the earlier the better.
But what you do is you don't kick the ass of the person who's giving you shit. You kick the ass of somebody completely random who has nothing to do with it, and then
and
they're
be
like, this
crazy
guy's
about
fucking
it
crazy.
Too. Like,
yeah, like beat him with a fucking chair.
It's like jail.
Yeah, exactly,
but,
right? Yeah,
but
you
more
just
serious.
Shank a stranger, and then you're set. Then they're like, this guy, we don't know where the fuck he's coming from.
Penny, let's start with you.
Exactly. Yeah, you thought I was fucked up and crazy. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And you start
overturn a table in the middle of class.
Yeah.
That's all. You don't even have to fight someone. Start throwing books in class. The most they can do is suspend you. Now you don't have to go to school and get your ass kicked. Now you're the suspended kid.
And their attorney, Wes Doss. All right, Penny, let's start with you. Again, I'm sure my heart isn't the only one breaking for Billy and your situation, but why a lawsuit and why go after the kids?
Because repeatedly we've asked for it to stop and they just don't get the picture. There's no other way to do it. I mean, even yet, there has been a lawsuit filed.
Did your parents ever step in on an issue? Because, like, do you remember how much worse that made it?
Yeah.
Like, there was this kid in my neighborhood whose fucking mom would always come over and tell, like, my mom to, like, stop whatever, like, whatever the fuck it was. You know, like, we were playing soccer, and I fucking knocked him down, and then his mom came over and had a talk with my mom. And that just made me want to knock him down even more.
Right.
You know? Like, when your parents, like, fucking get involved, and, like, this has to stop, that is going to make it fucking so much worse for this kid.
Yeah, I don't think my parents ever got involved like that. I think my older brother and I got involved from my younger brother. Like, the siblings got involved. Like, if someone was talking shit about my brother, I would say something.
My dad would scratch the hell out of him.
Like, I actually, I hit a kid with a wiffle bat because he told my brother there wasn't a Santa Claus.
That's fine.
I was like, fuck you. It is not your job to fucking ruin Santa for my brother.
So. My dad keeps bringing up this story about I was in junior high school and there were some kids, and I don't know if they were... Like, he exaggerates, so I really don't know what happened, but he said they were, like, hitting me and knocked my books out of my hand and stuff like that. And my dad was with me, so why would they do that if my dad's with me? But and he says he asked, you know, do you want me to step in? And I said no. So, not, you know, maybe jokingly they knocked books out of my hand. You know, I don't really remember. I couldn't have been getting hit, and the dad would go, should I do something, you know?
No, but your dad was pretty logical about that kind of stuff. He taught you that if... You're going to fight like you mean it.
Yeah, one of the few lessons I learned from my dad was if you're going to fight, make sure you mean it.
Right.
And like, never stop. You kill, son. You kill. That was good advice.
Sure.
That was it. That was the only thing I ever got.
The thing with books in your hand, though, I picture you as, like, one of those, like, you know, like, kids from the, like, a newspaper boy from, like, the 1900s with, like, the book in a belt. You know, like, why didn't you have a fucking backpack like every other kid?
Oh, this is one of the things that you accuse me of doing, is just you hone in on something
on some
really
obscure. Yeah, you know what? Guilty. Fucking guilty. I apologize.
No, I like it.
All right.
We were poor.
Explain yourself.
Yeah. We were a poor family.
Right.
Asshole.
They knocked you off your bicycle with the gigantic front wheel.
Oh, to
and
only
the tiny
have
little
one.
Back wheel, the Orville Wright bicycle.
Would have been nice to have one.
Yeah.
Some of the kids that are in the lawsuit are still doing it as of today.
Didn't the school district help you out here? It seems to me when a child gets picked on, you go to teachers, school administration. Aren't they supposed to help? Isn't that, did you go there first?
Well, what would they possibly do? What would a teacher possibly do?
Well, a teacher can't stay completely silent while somebody's getting beat the fuck up.
You do it in the hallway then. You do
sure
it when,
you do.
You do
they're
it
not,
when no one's looking.
Don't be a fucking rat.
All right.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
Jesus.
And you know, right. I could see, and then they'll talk about how much this kid gets beat up. If my kid can't, like, you're coming home with bruises. I would, I'd do a little hand the rocks a cradle. I would go in there, and I would beat the shit out of these kids myself as a dad. You either go in there and really do it, or you don't.
No, you don't put your hand on a kid, but...
I will put my hand on a kid.
It's really easy to psychologically damage a kid.
You're gigantic. You just go, what the fuck do you think you're doing? You're ginormous.
I will eat the tongue out of your fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Like, grab them by their little face and just stare at their eyes and very calmly just go, I will eat the tongue out of your mouth.
So I don't get to hit a kid.
It does.
You can hit
no,
your
that,
own.
That will have ramifications that last so much longer.
Bruises heal. That's why I bought those boxing gloves. In case my kid ever comes home.
That's why I took the pill this morning.
Oh, okay.
We did. I pleaded with them to call the police and they refused. So there's no other way to solve this but through legal issues. My son.
Everybody's under arrest! Who's picking on Billy?
Deserves to get an education in an environment that is not hostile, and that is the only way I can see to get this accomplished.
I want to read the statement from the school district, since we mentioned them, and here it is. This is from the Fayetteville School District. It says this: we work diligently to prevent harassment through education, but when it does happen, we deal with its aftermath, which involves fair treatment of all concern. If a student is found to be in violation of the student discipline policy, the prescribed punishment is imposed on the offender, and the victim is provided the necessary services to allow them to return to class.
Blah, blah, blah. What are they going to say? That's a very generic, we're watching the kids as much as we can, and if something goes wrong, we'll punish them like we always did.
Did you know that Clay Aiken, who is clearly relatively...
Effeminate,
nerdy.
Right.
He grew up in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
Like, have you ever been to Greensboro? It's like, just like a fucking hotbed of racial
racism
intolerance and
right.
homophobia. And like, little fucking... Fosse dancing, fucking, you know, jazz hands, tiny little Clay Aiken singing his little heart out, grew up in fucking Greensboro, North Carolina. Like, and that kid got through, he's on Broadway now. God bless him.
Right.
You know, like.
There's a lesson. Billy,
there is.
Listen
like,
up.
That fucking, growing up, like, that's like finding out that fucking.
So learn how to sing, you're telling Billy.
No, I'm just saying that, like, that guy got fucking picked on unmercifully. I'm positive of it.
Right.
And, like, he fucking came out okay, you know? He didn't fucking get his parents to sue anybody. Like, that's like finding out that fucking Woody Allen grew up in Mel Gibson's liquor cabinet. That's the worst place for a person to grow up.
More to you.
Come on, it's an anti-Semitism bit.
I just got it.
Come on. That's the most anti-Semitic place I can think of.
Necessary services to allow them to return to class. Penny, one more to you. Necessary services, what's that? And did you... Was that provided?
No.
Like basically, safety. You want Billy to be safe.
My son has not, he's not gotten what he has deserved from the Fayetteville Public Schools to keep him safe.
You are the worst mother of the year. And where's the dad, by the way?
Why are they like...
Maybe that's an issue.
Okay, it's one thing to sue him, you know, like to sue the fucking family or the kids or whatever. Yeah. But it's another thing to then go on national television and tell everybody that you're suing them. Like, that kid can't go to a school anywhere now.
Actually, that kid has to move when he grows up if you don't move him now. Because it's probably a small town. And so now you can't get a job there. You're that kid that sued all the rest of us who are now having a job.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
If
you sued everybody in your school, could you still live in Somerset, Pennsylvania?
Of course not.
You can't.
Of course not. I mean, start over to a new school and take a boxing class. And the very first person, even if it seems like half of a bully, if he cuts line in front of you,
punch
him in the face. Redo. Mm-hmm. You do a life redo.
Exactly.
And quit going on shows talking about the IHateMe.com, dummy. Good luck in life. You're an idiot. You deserve it. And what did you do?
It's the parents, though. It's the mom. Why is she allowing this reporter in her house?
Why doesn't the reporter go, I hate to say it this way, but Billy, what did you do? What did you do wrong? Why do they all hate you? If you had to say. Like, if you had to say. Like, what do you think it is?
I know it's their fault and everything, but, like, what do you bring to the table? Like, if you were them, what would you pick on yourself about?
What is your worst quality, Billy? Anyway, this is an interesting MySpace that you have about yourself. That one. Here's a story about a guy being charged. I'll let them tell it.
From the street, it looks like a normal house.
Oh,
yeah, you got it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Again, the story, I guess, isn't going anywhere.
Right.
It is a normal house.
Yeah. And it turns out it is, so we really don't know why we bothered to play that for you.
Well, these houses are all over the country.
Yeah. Aren't they just lovely?
From the street, it looks like a normal house. But look closer, and you'll learn something about who's inside. After pleading guilty to solicitation with a 9-year-old, Leroy Shad was sentenced to 5 years probation and house arrest. But that's not all. Shad must also display these signs on every side of his house during his 5-year sentence.
Now, I'm not sure where he's at, but you can tell he's in some kind of small rural town. And the signs that he has are made out of wood. Like, the government is or whatever form of government, the local sheriff, whatever, is making him put these signs on all 4 sides of his house. And they're wooden, and it says, where is it? I have it somewhere. A sex offender lives here. That's what it says. A sex offender lives here. And it looks like it's those wooden signs people make themselves that say, beware of dog. Like, it's just very crude and primitive.
Oh, okay. But it is a font, but it's a font to make it look like somebody wrote it.
It's written.
Really?
Your problem
it's painted.
Is...
No, my problem is my problem
it should be like a logo or something.
You would think it'd be a logo. I have no problem with this. I say make the signs bigger. I think
like
it's
like a little kid, like a silhouette of a little kid with an X through it.
Yes.
Know, like don't, no kids.
Somebody took time to make this, and they're making it like out of anger, like that son of a bitch.
You know what? If it was a logo, then it would just be easily, what's the word here? Come on, Jesse.
It would be easily.
you can easily see. You don't have to read what it is.
Yeah.
It's
well,
not
that's
like,
the point of logos. Yeah, yeah. They would have automatic you know, recognition that comes with it. And, you know, like the Arby's hat.
Yeah. Right. Like, or maybe like, you know, the sign could be like an older gentleman's mouth with like a kid's jerk going into his face.
With with the little circle with the X.
No, because he does it. Like, thumbs
not
up
anymore.
Here.
Not anymore.
Like,
well, he will if you come over.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I would let my kid go to that house if it had a not sign.
What I mean? Like, no come goes
in
here.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know
like,
what I mean?
Like, you're not going to get blown here if you're a little kid. Like, okay, I got you.
I will touch you here.
Well, but sign. I think, no, see, because, you know, because, like, pretty much that's, like, 99.9% of the population that doesn't blow kids, so then everybody would have to have that sign in their yard.
I don't want to be confused by my neighbor's signs.
All right.
So I do like this sign.
I think it's an assumed policy that, like, when you meet somebody that they don't blow kids.
That's the problem, though, see?
Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
What?
To teach you a lesson. But you watch out.
All right.
You watch out, and you keep an eye on your kids. Don't assume. I assume everybody's trying to blow my kids. I assume everywhere I go.
The 72-year-old openly told me what he did.
72.
The kids were spending the night with me. And this particular thing I did happened while we were laying down on the floor.
The thing I did.
This particular thing I did. Well, he was very open.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing I did, by the way, if you can't say it, you think maybe it's bad?
Yeah.
This particular thing I did,
and you know, somewhere that kid is listening to this, just being so grossed out, just watching this guy who touched him go, that thing I did, that thing was my penis that you did.
I remember.
Yeah.
Should I call him? Because I remember.
Yeah, what thing are you talking about exactly? We did a lot of things.
This particular thing I did happened while we were laying down on the floor at night to go to sleep.
Why are there a bunch of 9-year-olds hanging out at a 17-year-old
man? It lasted about a minute or less.
It only took a minute or less, is his defense. Did he represent himself and still didn't get any jail time?
Yeah. No, he didn't get jail time, or now
5 years probation, period.
That's all that he got? Or I thought you meant he was on probation for 5 years after he got out of jail.
They didn't mention jail time.
He had to register as a sex offender, and it sounds like he just got probation.
Oh, did he? Mm. Oh, that's horrendous. He had to register.
That registration process is not easy.
You know what? It could
it's
be
like
a long
the DMV.
Line.
Yeah, it really.
Lasted about a minute or less.
That's all. What's a big whoop?
Oh, this poor kid. You know, he didn't even admit what he did. He just said, like, the kid only lasted a minute. You know, I mean, when you think about it.
I didn't know.
In the grand scheme, this kid has his whole life ahead of him. It was 1 minute out of his life.
Apparently. Get this. It was my first time, and I'm dealing with the one-pump chump.
He's so excited by it that I don't think it could be a bad thing.
Well, his dick said thumbs up.
Wow, this is bordering on really dark.
It lasted about a minute or less. And it was just touching.
Ugh. It was just touching. What else would it have been? I guess ass fucking. Yeah. I was just
it
touching.
It could have been a lot of things, yeah.
Well, that's why you got 5 and not 10 years. Probation.
It was just diddling. Just diddled a bit.
A little dildo.
I was just diddling.
I like it when people do it to me.
I like being diddled.
I was oh, God. Oh,
that's so my impression of the 70-year-old sex offender.
Oh, God.
Thank you. If the listening audience, I actually turned around and turned back around, and then I was the guy.
I was whittling that little boy like so many signs in my backyard.
Leroy, what do you say to someone who says you molested a child? And you...
Whoa, I what? whoa, back up.
One who says, you molested a child, and you deserve the dirty looks, you deserve the signs, you deserve the loneliness.
I don't think I do.
All right, done.
Yeah, deal.
What do you deserve? Oh, I guess he's going to ask him.
I think probation is plenty.
Yeah.
I think being...
These signs make it really tough to mow my lawn.
Actually, I don't think this is right at all. He's so lucky that he didn't go to jail. He would have been beat the fuck up every day. It's a jail thing to do.
For 5 years, I'm not allowed touching kids. 6 years, I guess I can do it again, and I get 5 more years. I'm not sure how it works.
I got to keep these goddamn signs. They're tacky. They look at them. They look tacky.
I mow my lawn.
I'm trying to. It's hard to get the mower around these fucking signs. It's unjust, is what it is.
I even asked if I could have mobile signs. I can pick up, do under, and then put back. But they dug them right in there, good and deep.
Right, big sign poster.
His car is also. We'll get to that in a second. His car also has a big sign on the driver's side.
Does it really?
Real big, taking up the whole door.
Awesome.
And it says sex offender is in this car.
That's okay. He's admitting that he did things, you know? He's not in jail.
But as a friend, I can't borrow his car anymore. That's all.
That's very true.
Spaz is reminding us, diddling a kid, probation. Del Taco gets you 30 days.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, if that guy fucking got into, like, a fender bender, like, in the, you know, the...
Oh, yeah.
You get hit by that guy, and then you're just like... Man, what a fucking asshole this guy is. Not only did he fucking knock off my side view mirror, but this motherfucker apparently put his thumb in a kid's ass.
You know what?
Just diddling.
It is. His main problem should be anytime he's in any kind of car accident, it's always going to be his fault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like
what I did was wrong, and I deserve something for that. There's no doubt about it. But I do not think I deserve what I got.
What else is there?
I think it was overkill.
It was overkill.
Overkill.
Your sign saying what you did is overkill.
You think you deserve?
That I don't know.
What do you deserve? That I don't know. Well, you kind of give the government some options, old man.
Yeah.
I don't know. You figure it out. Well, I have other cases.
I think that you need to let somebody 4 times your size fuck you in the ass.
Mm. Yeah. If you went to jail, that would have happened.
Only for a minute.
Yeah, just a minute of it. Yeah.
Says the signs on the side of his house are bad enough, but the real threats are coming from the sticker on the side of his car.
I was coming home, pickup truck with 4 young guys in it, past me, looking at the signs, laughing. They got past me, and one stuck his hand out the window and flipped me off.
Neighbors feel
it could have been much worse. Do you know how many people were abused and molested in this country?
Do you
don't think one of those 4 were?
Do you know how much it hurts to get the middle finger? it hurts you.
So. Maybe you guys...
I never had one in my ass or anything, but I know that it hurts to get the middle finger.
Back in the day, middle finger meant something. Now everybody's giving fingers. I understand that, but to me, I still think it means something. I know the Duke wouldn't have taken it.
Passed me and one stuck his hand out the window and flipped me off.
Neighbors feel he deserves what he got.
He deserves that he got that finger.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I hope he gets 2.
Seriously.
I think it's actually kind of important for them to have the signs. That way people that lives in the neighborhood knows about that person.
But Shad disagrees.
It's been hell since then. The isolation, loneliness.
He shouldn't have done it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. In Hudson, Adam Marshall, KWCH 12, Eyewitness News.
Good report.
What a fucking meaningless statement.
Hey, he should have never done that.
I don't think he should have done it.
Yeah, I don't think he should have done it.
We're all into it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing it.
However, yeah, I mean, I don't blame the guy that said that. The reporters just want to get something stupid that wraps up their story.
I like.
He might have said, you know, 20 different things, and that's one of them.
Fair enough. All right.
Do you think so? You think he? Yeah, I'm sure.
Number three.
I'm sure the neighbor said a lot of brilliant things.
Yeah. And the choice nugget they chose was, I don't think he should have done it.
I don't think he should have done it. You know what? I like pie, but I eat a whole fucking cake, I'm gonna get sick. He shouldn't have done it.
How incredibly insightful that was, sir.
Assholes.
My autobiography, by the way, should be done soon. I've been sitting on it for a few months because I'm sick of doing the final edit on my own work.
You have to read it so many times.
And I ended up making the change. Like, I have the proof back, and I have to make change. I can't just make the changes right there. I have to make the changes in a separate Word document. So, like, what was wrong? What is wrong now? Is it my fault or the person that made the proof's fault? And it's just a little pain in the ass. And then I ended up losing the file by doing some stupid transferring on my computer.
Well, you lost the entire file?
I lost the majority of work that I did. It's like 220 pages PDF, which I think is regular book size. And it really fucking upsets me. And it's dumb shit like spacing. And then between that and the relationship book we're working on, getting things back from, you know, our agent saying, hey, why don't you look at this? You know, here's a new idea. I just want to go, you know what? I'm kind of busy right now. I got a stand-up show coming up. Mm-hmm. Whatever you find laying around on the floor, just put our fucking name on it. I really don't care anymore. I think that's how Dr. Seuss started. I talked with Ben Vaha about this last night. And I think that, like, he's a doctor and he wrote, like, smart things. And then these dumb books came back. And he's like, what the fuck? Well, actually, I wrote Norton. But Horton, okay, whatever. Who gives a fuck? Horton hears a what? That doesn't even make sense. That'd be an easy book to edit to. 50 words. If you spelled them wrong, nobody would know. You made the shit up. But the checks kept coming, so he didn't care. I'm a doctor. This shit doesn't even make sense.
What was he a doctor of?
Seuss.
A doctor of the glucophone. Probably.
He was the inventor of the Xanadu Dwizzle.
My book is a cross between Dr. Seuss and Dr. Zhivago. Well.
Kevorkian, perhaps.
Hey, remember the other day I was about to... We were talking about you running into the Jewish folk.
Yes.
And how judgmental they are. And you would like to start giving some false information. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I'm a...
What happens is I still live in the area where I grew up. So sometimes I run into people that I've known as a kid. And sometimes I can't stand them because all they want to know is how I failed. And how I failed is that I'm not married. That kind of stuff, you know? And I know that... all this stuff just goes back to my parents. Like, whatever I tell them, it's as if I'm just telling my parents, and I'm telling the entire Jewish community. So I said to myself, next time I run into somebody that makes me feel annoyed and that I know the conversation is not going to go anywhere, I'm going to be like, I'm sorry, I really can't listen because I'm so coked up right now. So can I just catch up with you later? Do you have an email address or something? Whatever it is,
right.
I'm going to say that I'm coked up and all see right. how fast it gets to my parents.
Okay. And and when you said that, I said, you know who can help you with this chart? Spooky.
Mm.
And you started shaking your head no. And I said, you know, why are you shaking your head no? And you said, well, I don't think Spooky wants you to know this.
Right.
So Spooky wrote me after he heard this.
Okay.
And he said, what's the secret of mine on the show that Hendel won't let you say? Is it the gossip flow chart? This guy writes, I think maybe you met him. I don't know. And anyway... He plays around in the Keith and Girl chat and on the forums a lot.
So he told you can say it?
Yes.
Okay.
And he knows, well, here was the IM back and forth. And I go, yeah, it was the gossip flow chart. And she said, ah, she should let you say it. It's not that secret. I think that's Spooky's problem, why he shares secrets of ours. Because he doesn't understand how secret it is.
Mm.
We got to be like, that's a 10 secret.
I mean, the whole idea of the flow chart thing is that it has to remain a secret. Otherwise, you can't use it anymore. Spooky.
Maybe you could. The disinformation and phrasing stuff makes me giggle when it comes back around. He says, I should get back to that. What he does is he
plants a seed in the chat room that we have, right? Mm-hmm. He plants a seed, and it's this very specific seed, and he sees if this person keeps telling people and then it gets back to him.
Oh, okay.
You know, and
he'll private message somebody, for example, and just phrase something a certain way about what should be private information. Then he hears this from somebody else, and the way it was phrased matches the way he said it, and it's an outright lie. And then he can look at a chart that he has in his house of all you guys and figure out who's the liar, who can't be trusted, who's a piece of shit, who it's safe to get tits from, you know, this kind of thing.
Mm.
And I think that's fascinating.
Mm. Yeah, and I definitely thought of the flowchart when I was saying it, but I'm a very good secret keeper.
Yes.
And the way Spooky describes that, to me, it even if he didn't say it's a secret, which I don't think he did, to me, that says shush your face about it.
Right. Well, it wasn't that secret. I said,
the scheme of things, nothing is really that important, you know. Like, and that's Spooky's philosophy. Also, is like we can all die tomorrow. So why are you even living? You know what I'm saying? But just understand,
it's not the end of the world. Sure.
I don't think that I'm on your flow chart because I know how to keep secrets.
Wow. Do you know the United States Air Force employed this exact principle on like a global level in World War II? Did you ever hear about the dead railroad transient, the homeless guy's body that they put out in the water?
No.
It's really interesting. They took like a dead guy, he's like a fucking hobo, and they shaved him all up, cleaned him up, and put him in an Air Force uniform, and put like letters in his pocket from a girlfriend that didn't exist, and like really made it like seem very legit, and put like kind of a semi-unimportant, but also easily read into as important message that he was supposed to be carrying, and they dropped him in the water outside on the coast of Spain.
Okay.
And like the Spain was like in cahoots with the like, you know, not officially, but we're kind of in cahoots with the Nazis and the and like, you know, the
and they
know,
found out through
the
this.
Italians. Yeah. And so it basically said that we were going to be invading a certain part of Italy, and sure enough, the Hitler's army bought it and went there, and we were really easily able to come in and take over Sicily because of it.
For real?
Yeah, and that dude, I think, I'm not positive about this, but I think he's the only dude who was not in the military to posthumously win some fucking, like, the Silver Star or something like that.
Spooky.
Yeah, Spooky is the only guy who has ever gotten the Silver Star.
Wow.
Very cool. All right.
And that's what you might not know about Spooky. I'm planting this seed, is that he's actually a dead hobo.
And then some people writing in, like, Spooky has way too much time on his hands and things like that. But you guys are curious, where are you in the chart? What were you supposed to keep a secret that you didn't?
Because he knows.
Spooky should put himself on that chart.
Yes, he should. Right in the center. You got to be careful with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe another fucking high school kid's going to get an A on a paper because of that. See, remember that other kid who got the...
Oh, yeah, with the bat information,
that's
right?
That's what I do. I plant little fucking...
Do you know that's what I was thinking? I'm like, here's the information time. What happened?
Yeah. I just thought that was mildly interesting.
We're still losing the basket thing, of course.
Oh, we had Atheist Easter on Sunday over here. We had a few friends over, people who normally maybe would go back home or not go back home or don't give a shit about Easter. But we did color eggs.
All right.
And then we put our, everyone made like a few eggs, so we put them in a pretend basket, and by that I mean on napkins or in on a piece of paper. And everyone could vote which basket is the best. Fuck Relic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got pity votes after yesterday. So fuck you guys.
We didn't say whose they were, and Mimi Cherry was the first one to guess them all right. Basket A, she said, one egg says heart poop. Hemda is the only one that says poop. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Basket B, the one egg has cock and balls. Keith is the cock and balls drawing master. And the Transformers egg makes me think that these are Keith's eggs. That is true. I don't know why I didn't get more votes. I'm the only one that made use of the stickers. And it's not just a bunch of Transformer stickers slapped on an egg. They're all stickers are spaced perfectly evenly apart, and there are no Decepticons or Decepticon symbols on that egg in any way.
Nobody appreciates art, I'm telling you.
I don't think they do.
But you know what won? Emoticons.
Yeah.
Somebody drew smiley faces and frown faces. Fuck Relic. Continue.
Basket C, she said Matt B. Basket D, Relic. He would be the one that would make his eggs a series for an art gallery.
Him.
See, I didn't know we can make a series of
eggs. I know.
I had each egg represents itself. If I knew I could make a series of eggs, I'd make some kind of graffiti thing that you put them all together like a puzzle.
Well, next year, babe. Apparently, this is what these people want.
Basket E, the Lulz and Easter Nigger eggs make it definitely Patrice.
Whoa. Yeah, I know. It's okay. She's
Basket F, I thought those were Spooky's eggs.
Somebody dropped the N-bomb on an Easter egg?
Yeah.
But now it's really an N-bomb.
Wow.
Can you throw it on somebody idiot. All right.
Wow.
Continue.
All right.
Come on.
Oh, there you go. You got it. And there's a comedian now.
Come on.
That was funny. Come on. I like when you guys. I like when comedians bully people into laughing. That's my favorite.
Oh, you know what else I love? When comics will go, they'll say something fucking just disgusting, you know, like about like, you know, fucking throwing their thumb in a little kid's ass,
right?
And then people kind of groan or whatever, or like kind of like titter because they're uncomfortable. And then he goes, "You people are sick," and it's like, "You're the one who said it, dick." Like, you know, but like they'll put it on the audience as though like,
right?
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, and you guys are fucking. It's the shit you guys laugh at. It's like, well, it's because you are fucking. That's the only comedy you're providing.
If you guys weren't perverted, those words shouldn't have even made sense.
Yeah, exactly.
The final basket was just broken eggs with salt and pepper next to it. And that's Spooky was eating eggs. So that was my representation of he would just make the eggs and then eat them all. So she guessed. I thought those were Spooky's eggs that McNally thought were his and he ate them. Here's
she's quite the detective, this one.
She did very good. These are this is Keith McNally. I have in my hand his application to stay in the United States for a longer period of time. He, of course, is from Canada.
Yeah.
I entered the United States under a B-1 visitor for business visa in order to shoot footage of an independent documentary, which will later be assembled in Canada. The subjects of the documentary are Keith Malley and Khemda Khalili, hosts of the podcast Keith and the Girl, whose website can be found at keithandthegirl.com. I'm not receiving remuneration from them or from any other U.S. source. But if they leave shit around, what can I do? My main source of income are my parents. They are supplying me with blah, blah, blah money and Canadian funds each month to help me with the project, which comfortably covers my monthly expenses. They can be reached during normal business hours at this number. I'm enjoying my time in New York, and it has become clear that spending additional time gathering footage will greatly aid in my project. I'm fully confident of my ability to remain financially solvent while in the U.S., with enough money to return to Canada at any time should the need arise. If my extension is granted, I plan to return to Canada in December of 2008, though I may return earlier should I find the project exhausted. Please note that the daytime phone number supplied, our phone number, is that of the aforementioned Khemda Khalili. In order to keep my expenses down, I do not have a U.S. telephone, using the internet exclusively for contact. Ms. Khalili will be able to contact me should you wish to reach me by telephone. Thank you for your time.
That's
Keith
nice.
McNally.
Who is that? That is to the U.S.
I believe it's to the U.S. government.
It has to be. Why the fuck would Canada?
Canada wouldn't care.
They don't care. They don't need to know that. But
yeah, because he has to pay $300, and they just want your money. Yeah. Like, he was wondering, am I going to be able to stay? I'm like, they just want your money.
See, that's what I think. Right. I think because it's so $300 is a decent amount of money, especially when they're saying you can't make money here.
Right. But,
so the way I see it is if you want to stay so badly that you pay $300, you'll probably be approved.
Okay.
And it's just a little, you know, nonsense.
Answer, like, is he intentionally, like, kind of, like, making himself seem like kind of a loser? Like, a little bit, like...
In the letter?
Oh, no. Yeah. The point of that is that he's not allowed to have a job.
Oh, I see. So he has to just, like, claim
to
be
justify,
a barnacle on his parents.
Yeah, right. He has to justify how he's making it another 6 months in the country.
I gotcha.
So. Otherwise, it's like, well, I have this underground job. Don't worry about it.
I am happy to spend money on goods and services in your state.
Yeah.
But I certainly wouldn't want none myself. Mm-hmm. In Canada, we take money. Ugh.
But Runers is saying, Runers is from Canada, we care, we want our indie filmmaker back. Well, good thing you don't get to decide. He wouldn't be here an extra 6 months.
Answer the following questions. If you answer yes to any question, please describe the circumstances in detail and explain on a separate sheet of paper or sheets. Have you or any other person included in this application ever been arrested or convicted of any criminal offense since last entering the United States? Have you ever ordered, incited, called for, committed, assisted, helped with, or otherwise participated in any of the following? A, acts involving torture or genocide.
Wow. Have
you could explain yourself on another piece of paper if you'd like to.
They give you three lines. You can write in your answer.
It's a small box.
Yeah. If yes, please explain.
B, killing any person. Just asking, not even a big deal.
Are you fucking serious? Is that really written
there? It's so real, yeah. Intentionally and severely injuring any person. Totally separate. Maybe you did. I've done it. Who hasn't done it?
Genocide.
Maybe you did
fucking
genocide.
Genocide.
Well, you didn't ask. That's what happened in the old days. Nobody asked me.
Nobody wanted to know whether I... sure, there are mass graves, but no one asked me.
Engaging in any kind of sexual contact or relations with any person who was being forced or threatened. Maybe you didn't know. I'm not saying that's against the law, and this will not necessarily affect you. I'm just asking. E, limiting or denying any person's ability to exercise religious beliefs. Maybe that was your thing. Just
wow.
curious.
They think he has a lot of power. Just yeah. limiting or denying someone's personal belief.
Have you ever served in, been a member of, assisted in, or participated in any military unit, paramilitary unit, police unit, self-defense unit, vigilante unit, rebel group, guerrilla group, militia, or insurgent organization? They start off nice.
Yeah.
In any military thing, a cop thing, a bad thing, a rape thing.
Insurgents, I don't think of themselves as insurgents.
Right.
Oh, that's
right.
Right.
You know,
that's
the other
right.
thing. Like, I don't think that they would go like, yeah, I'm a seditious terrorist.
So. Have you served in any prison, jail, prison camp, detention facility, labor camp, or any other situation that involved detaining prisoners for being bad sons of bitches?
I think I could save them a lot of ink and just go, A, are you evil?
Right. Evil-ish. Somewhat evil.
Yeah, it's just like a circle, like it's like a multiple choice. Are you mostly evil? Like you have to like fill it in with a pencil. Somewhat evil? Not evil at all.
Have you did a little diddling in your day? Have you ever assisted?
Yeah, but I don't think that's mostly evil. It was just a minute.
Have you ever assisted or participated in selling or providing weapons to any person who, to your knowledge, used them against another person? Or then transporting weapons to any person who, in your knowledge, used them against another person?
You know what? Like, dictators and rapists and fucking, like...
They don't fill out the forms.
Yeah, they don't fill out forms. Exactly. Like, insurgents, you know? Don't get like, yes, I would consider myself seditious.
How do I twist this around in words? Hey, they're good.
Yeah.
They thought this through.
Ah, God damn it. Sure, I've committed genocide, but I can't be dishonest on a form.
And please note that every have you ever, the ever is capitalized. I mean ever. It's like the lie detector test I took. Did you fuck somebody else other than the in any way, shape, or form? Have you ever been a member of, assisted in, or participated in any group, unit, or organization of any kind in which you or other person used any type of weapon against any person or threatened to do so? Have you or any other person included in this application done anything that violated the terms of the non-immigrant status you now hold?
They should just meet McNally. He's fascinated by the pizza we have here.
Should we not allow you in? Yes or no?
Will you make things better or worse here? Probably worse.
Jeremy found a loophole. They didn't ask about any... They didn't ask anything about being a counter-revolutionary. That's his loophole.
You don't have
come on!
There's any counter... Revolutionaries listening.
Come on, get it? Come on.
Come on.
Gobbly.
Hi-yo. And Fooey, the last question, did you lie to any of these questions above? Really?
Yeah. Explain. Yeah. All right, before we get out of here, a teenager...
They almost got away with it until they had the did you lie question. That's how they fuck you.
A teenager who confessed to killing his father last month told police he hated his dad for taking away his internet access... According to a police report, this kid's 15 years old. He called 911 on February 6th and told the dispatcher he had just shot his father in the head with a 12-gauge shotgun. I hate my dad and I couldn't take it anymore. His name's Mr. Schlicker. The kid's name is Huxton Schlicker. And Schlicker told police his father had taken away his internet access after seeing suicide threats the teen had posted on the social networking website MySpace.com. Schlicker had posted the threats in January. Friends in Florida had seen the postings, talked him out of killing himself, and called Mesa police. Police said they told Schlicker's mother about the threats. She allegedly told them she wasn't worried and promised to lock up any guns in the house.
What?
I will now lock up guns in the house if he's thinking about
it. By the way, the internet saved him, so you take the internet away?
Yeah, that's a point. Good point. Schlicker said he often spent entire days on MySpace and couldn't cope when his father cut off his access to the site. It felt like I was...
Wow, you take away MySpace from a kid, they will kill themselves.
It felt like I was stabbed with a knife and it went straight through, and no matter how hard I pulled, I couldn't pull out the knife, Schlicker said. Schlicker said that on the day of the shooting, he called in sick from school by faking his father's voice. At one point during the day, Schlicker said he went to the...
How did he fake his father's voice?
Oh, hello, I'm Mr. Schlicker, and my son is very sick.
Yeah. I'm not dead yet.
Should I put him on? See? At one point during the day, Schlicker said he went to the garage to get a drink and found his father's shotgun and ammunition lying on the counter. Schlicker said he took the gun up to his room intending to kill himself in front of his father when his father arrived home. He later changed his mind and decided to kill his father first, then kill himself. Then not kill himself.
Yeah, then change his mind again.
He's so wishy-washy. Schlicker told police he had decided that if his father came home after 4 p.m., he wouldn't carry out his plan. When his father came home early at 2 p.m., Schlicker was waiting on the stairs with his shotgun, according to the report. I bet there was like a cartoon on at 4 p.m., probably.
Mm. No, well, Oprah's on.
Schlicker said he waited till his father was in the kitchen, then walked up behind him and shot him in the back of the head. After the shooting, Schlicker said he called a female friend and told her he had killed his father and was about to kill himself. Schlicker said she talked him out of it and convinced him to call the police instead. He sounds easily swayed.
Yeah, this kid is fucking... Yeah. Huxton is wishy-washy.
We were about to lose a good one. Schlicker expressed remorse during a police interview, telling detectives, "I wish I didn't do this. I miss Dad."
Wow. Ew.
Fucking... Yeah.
Wow.
During the interview, Schlicker portrayed his father as a loving man who only wanted the best for him and who used to take him on hunting trips.
Why don't we get this fucking kid together with that fucking 72-year-old man?
Yeah. You know, like, I hope this guy gets a sign on his house for life. Yeah. You know, a dad face with a not sign. That I agree with.
If you're a dad, stay the fuck away from this kid's house.
Me and my dad would go squirrel hunting. Apparently, he trusts me with a rifle.
Ha ha. Twisted irony.
Schlicker was charged with first-degree murder and would be tried as an adult.
How old is he? Do you know?
15 years old.
Really, trust me with a rifle.
They, you know what I do? Being from the country, they do get... We didn't get them, but all our neighbors did. Took their kids hunting. And their kids are young. The kids are maybe not even 14. The Janos down the block, they're low teens, killed food for them. Killed deer and turkey, killed everything, killed chickens. Well, I guess it's not wild chickens, right? But killed everything, you know, semi-wild.
Bunny rabbits you ate, right?
Bunny rabbits, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they shot it and they grilled it. I don't know. It's a little too... I don't... Like, there's
Did
no
they have
reason
a look
to,
in their eye or something? Or
you know what? Yeah, there was something a little too hillbilly about the whole family. They were nice. Chance was my age. It was the nicest family. But, yeah, there was something weird that they learned to hunt good so young. There's no reason for that skill so young. The apocalypse is not coming that soon.
Yeah, that's a little weird.
There'll be a warning. You'll see. There'll be a warning. Keith Malley, the visionary who said there'd be a warning to the apocalypse.
You always write your own news articles.
I'm telling you.
It's charming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just cut and paste. I know what they do.
Most podcasts don't start off this way, but Keith Malley.
This seems like a normal radio show with a guy and a girl.
This would seem like a normal podcast.
Jesse Joyce is going to be doing some shows in China for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I am.
Very exciting.
Going over there.
You got to learn Chinese? How much time do you have?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
They talk funny.
Yeah.
You know what they don't?
Is there a translator?
I'm just going to keep a bunch of silverware in a box and knock it around. Come on.
How do you get a job like that? I get it. Ching Chong. We get it. How do you get a job in China? I'm very bright. I'm very bright.
Yeah. No, there's a... they have this, like, American... like, all the expats that live there that, like, do business or whatever. This dude hooked into, like, hey, we should do, like, American comedy over here.
And you're doing it to Americans over there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Americans and, you know, maybe like, you know, English-speaking, like British people and, you know,
and 3 weeks
Australians,
straight
whatever.
You're staying there.
Well, I'm going to Beijing, Shanghai, Macau, Hong Kong, and then I'm going to Malaysia, Singapore, and Korea. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Good Korea, not bad Korea.
You know what humor they don't like? Let me warn you.
What?
If you make jokes about how they blow their snot all over the fucking place and don't mind digging for gold chronically, they don't find that amusing.
Right.
They play video games.
Oh, boy.
They play video games on the subway. Like, you know how black people enjoy having the music loud and will sing to it, and they have no care for you for you needing some peace and quiet. The thing with Asians is with video games. And they have their video game speakers on the subway, buses, walking down the street, all the time. You see an Asian, there's a video game in their hand. And it's real loud, and they're, damn it! Next level! God! Out loud, and they have no shame for that. If you can ask them why they do that, I'd appreciate it.
Well, you know, when I used to work for the census, I actually had to go into Chinatown and, like, knock on doors.
Yeah?
That was fucking
impossible. They always
had
video games in their hands, right?
Well, no, there'd be, like, 12 of them in a like, a little apartment, and they were just so suspicious at all times. They were just like, what do you want? You know, and it's like, I just have to ask, you know, how many people live here, and they just, like, slammed it. Impossible.
Really?
Never got any information from them. So,
are you nervous?
I don't know. Like, not really, because I've talked to, like, some comics. Joe DeRosa's been there, okay. And Gaffigan, and Tom Shalhoub, a couple of guys that I know have been over there. So they have told me that it's pretty much you can do what you want. But, you know, the Red Army doesn't fuck around. You know, like, I think there's sort of a free speech issue there.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not, like...
I wouldn't do your delivery food material.
I am going to, yeah, and I'm going to avoid my free Tibet chunk as well.
And whatever you guys want to do with Tibet, I'm good with it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Tibet should fucking free itself. That's what I say.
You live here. I don't know the story.
I don't know what's going on with you people.
Any announcements before we leave? Any other shows coming up?
What else? I'm doing one of the Comedy Addiction Tour shows this Monday in D.C.,
Is everything on your MySpace?
It's on my website.
On your website?
Yeah, jessejoyce.com.
You know who can't?
I need to update my MySpace.
You know who can't join you and be part of that tour?
Who?
Michael Matera.
No. No, he cannot. Not so much. Not at all.
But, also, your stuff is on iTunes.
It is, yeah. You can get my CD on iTunes, which has been going well.
It's a very good CD.
Thanks.
I vouch for it.
Thanks, buddy.
Not at all. Not at all. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you check out his website. Make sure you check out his CD. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. KeithAndTheGirl.com